This is Tash Agbade. I'm doing a quick audio recording regarding the latest issue of my Farm CEO newspaper that has to do with the vertical farming concept, in which the technology of aquaponics is used to raise vegetables and other crops indoors with zero sand and 95% less water. Now, this is a concept that's been, I think, in the late 90s, if I recall correctly, an article I read, where it was proposed by a certain professor in one of the, I think it was one of the South American countries. Anyway, the point is, it's something that has caught on wildly, and I do know a few places where it's operating in Nigeria, but one of the issues for us in this part of the world has also always been the fact that it's quite expensive. The inputs required, the materials required are a bit expensive. As a result, the rate of adoption is much lower. The benefits to be had become a bit more difficult to justify because the people that are the target users or beneficiaries are not able to afford the resulting farm output. Now, these comments I made basically were the same sentiments that were expressed by a member of the club when I posted the announcement of it. She was expressing the opinion that, like I said, along the lines of what I just described, and she was quite right. However, I have always, one of the visions I have, and that's why I do this periodic podcast messages, these are some of the things that will be exclusively provided to members of my clubs, the different clubs I run. All of you are paid clients, so I feel that I can add value to you by sharing my ideas and my thinking. The exposure I had in the kind of organization I worked while I was in paid employment as a person involved in manufacturing, and I was actually in technical department function, made me understand that at every point in time, if you consider yourself an expert in a particular field, you demonstrate your expertise in a practical way by showing that you are willing to apply your creative thinking abilities to adapt your expertise and your technology and your processes to suit the unique requirements of your socio-economic and socio-cultural environment. So in this case, for instance, we have a challenge. We're saying the technology imported from Oyinbo land is not working for us. That's great. But again, why should we expect them to develop a technology that suits us? They are developing technology to solve their own problems in their own kind of socio-economic situation. So if we want to use it, we must be ready to do what is called adaptation of technology. And we don't have to insist that they come and do it for us. Why? Because why would they want to do it? Yeah, they might want to, but they don't owe us anything. You know, the way we've gone to school, they've also gone to school. So if we want to borrow their technology, we must be ready to do the work of thinking up a way to adapt the technology to suit our needs. And so, where are the experts in our own environment? One of the primary groups of experts that I would imagine in farming business industry are the farm CEOs themselves. The farm business owner must begin to see himself as an active player in bringing about the adaptation of foreign technology to suit his own needs. If he's not prepared to innovate and invent his own technology, you know, if you don't want to sit down and come up with your own techniques to do things in a better way, then if you're going to borrow from other people, be ready to do the adaptation. Don't we can't afford to say it doesn't work for us. The problem we have with it is, well, we didn't create it. So whatever problem we have, it wasn't created for us. It was created for them, and it's working for them. That's why they have tons and tons of food. I was telling one of the farm CEOs in Jos, he's also a lecturer, and I was telling him that, look, there's a kind of annual event called Tomatina in Italy. You know, you can Google it, Tomatina. You know, and Tomatina is I would quite describe it as 1 hour of madness, in which they bring about, I think, over 600 tons of tomatoes are delivered to a certain space in the center of the city, one of the cities, I don't know where, I can't recall the name of the city now in Italy. And basically what happens is the participants then proceed to stone one another with tomatoes. I mean, well-raised tomatoes, very well, beautiful-looking tomatoes brought in trucks. And for one solid hour, people are throwing tomatoes at each other, falling over into muddy streets, covered with tomatoes that are all mashed up. And at the end of the 1 hour of madness, what they then do is they take the tomatoes and sweep, I mean, they have this cleaner, they come in and they sweep the streets clean completely of all the tomatoes, and you never even know. Well, by the time it's done, you probably find it difficult to imagine that just an hour earlier, the whole place had been a mess or some hours earlier. So Why are they able to do that? Because they produce such huge volumes of tomatoes anyway that they have more than enough to meet their needs, and therefore they can afford to go into this kind of what I consider a very crazy form of wasting. You know, but again, it's supposed to celebrate some kind of event that took place some few years earlier when two young tomato farmers went at each other with tomatoes in that manner. You know, so but the fact that they can do it at all is just a reflection of the fact that they've already developed their agro-production techniques to more than meet the demands they have for consumption of tomatoes, and therefore they can afford to indulge in this kind of waste. Now that's consumption, a volume of tomatoes is what you might want to say, oh, could have been exported to Africa. But the point is, why can't Africa just do the same thing? Because if you look at it, we are more agro-friendly than they are. And probably we even have larger numbers of people involved in agriculture, but our productivity is much lower per capita. Now, if we were to adapt technology intelligently to suit ourselves individually on the respective farms, our output could probably quadruple or more. And so it's left to us to do the thinking and stop thinking, oh, you've done this, but you could go and do it better. What is the incentive you're giving to these on your boat to do it better? It's not like we're paying them. I mean, more often than not, they even bring the funding to help us adapt technology, you know, to suit our needs. So, bottom line, the purpose of this message I'm sending out today is to challenge the farm CEOs to do what the gentleman, I always refer to him. Funny enough, he's actually not a paid client. We're just friends. And when I say friends, we talk once in a while on phone. Yinka, I can't remember his surname now. He's the owner of Damix Farms. And you know, the guy, ever since he told me some of the stuff he did, trial and error basis on his farm, he kind of ran some kind of pilot scale trials and began to experiment with alternative feed ingredients until he narrowed down to, if I recall correctly, palm kernel cake and Gary, you know, which at the point he began to use Gary at 60% inclusion level for preparing of feed he was giving to adult catfish. And he was getting massive good results that enabled him to save a lot of money. You know, now he did those trials on his own. He said he was determined to find a way to eliminate the problem he was having with the cost of feeding. And so he invested time and energy to check what the results he was getting with his ponds were compared to the feeding he was doing. And over time, he narrowed down to this fact that he could actually replace certain expensive ingredients with a much more pocket-friendly priced input, which was Gary, along with Pankaneke, which gave him very good results in terms of growth gains, you know. And so, by doing that, he effectively transformed the performance of his business. Now, if other farm business owners did that, what will happen is over time, we will have what we call a collection of indigenous knowledge systems that we will share with other people who are coming into this industry as best practices, and then they would begin to operate their own enterprises in that manner. Therefore, the productivity from all the farms combined would be much, much, much higher. And as a result, the country will get a boost in food-based output from farms. Now, we're not doing that. What we have are pockets of people doing things right and wrong. And as a result, we don't have any consistency in performance of our farms. So we've got to go beyond the stage of sitting back and waiting for people to bring solutions to us, and then we say, oh, this one does not suit me because I don't have this, I don't have that. So go back and do another one. The thing is, there is no reason why anybody would do that. In fact, first of all, they didn't even send us to come and look at the aquaponics. We were the ones that went and said, oh, see, this thing is happening here. Let's bring it to Nigeria. And they would say, oh, it's too expensive, I can't use it. Whose fault is that? If it's too expensive, study the technology, develop an adapted version that is cheaper. In other words, take a look at the technology that the aquaponics involves. What can we do to make the aquaponics in this part of the world cheaper for us to operate? What are the inputs there? What are the replacements we can put in? What's the science behind it? How can we make the science much less expensive? You see, that's the thing. The schools we go to don't train our people to be people who are thinkers. They don't train us to be innovators. They just, I was talking to some parents yesterday where my daughters are learning hairdressing, explaining how one of their kids, one of these was explaining how one of his kids had been so taught to memorize that if he just forgot one or two words in a sequence of words he was supposed to use in a sentence, whether reaching or when he was speaking, he would completely forget what he was supposed to say because he had been trained to memorize. And that's one of the most damaging things you can do to a child. So it doesn't matter how good the school is. When you have teachers who are teaching children to memorize, we call it rote learning, and they don't understand it, they have to understand, they have to have achieve comprehension, reading comprehension. That's a big problem, because in life, the child then does not learn to look at the written word as something he wants to interact with his mind, and begin to process, think, analyze, reflect upon, and then come up with understanding and insight that he can then apply in the real world based on what he has understood from what he's read. If the child does not understand that, he's going to grow up into an adult that cannot think. And then we have another that cannot think. He always wants people to do all the thinking and bring him the finished solution. Who's going to do that for you? Are you going to pay for it? You don't even have the money to pay these foreigners to do this. So you're going to sit down and tell people, you go and invent and nothing. So we keep waiting for the white guys to invent, because we don't have the culture of thinking, you know, and innovating and creating and inventing. We talk about it. We even run competitions. But the truth of the matter is that the society itself, in terms of the attitude of people, does not encourage people to be that way. And that's where we have to have a fundamental shift in our thinking, in the way we operate. Because if we're going to be able to compete globally, it's going to have to start with the human beings and the way they use their brains. And that's one of the big problems. So for the farm CEOs, for the and businesses in other areas of industry, of commerce and all that, there's a need for a change in the way we use our minds in our businesses. We have to get more intellectually involved in the way we evolve our businesses. We're not going to wait for the next development, for next improvement in technique and strategy. Even for service businesses, we keep waiting for the Oyinbo guys, the white guys, to come up with new ways, and then we start shouting about it. Then somebody travels and comes and says, I attended the conference in Switzerland. Why can't we make people come and attend conferences, or even encounter us here and begin to borrow ideas from us and present at TEDx conferences abroad? It can happen. Once in a while it does happen, but it happens much more frequently, because we can be creative like them. And it's the key to the advancement of farm business in this part of the world. It's going to be ability to use our intellect creatively to improve the way we do agriculture in a manner that makes it more competitive internationally. You know, so that's what my message is for today. I hope you think about it. If you need more ideas, or you want us to work on something together along these lines, for instance, aquaponics. Who says we can't study it and improve on it? Let's talk. All right. Cheers.
As always, you can get across to me via tayosoladbad.com website. Just click the contact button, or you can send me an email directly via tayo@ckso.com. Cheers.